Kirsten and I really did, we did like a team, a tag team sort of teaching on seeing and unlocking that big time, and how it pertains to misconceptions and the imagination and all those things. And you could find those teachings online under sermons. I really recommend it. Really, really recommend it. In part one, we really laid a lot of stuff out. It was like too long. So yeah, livingwordevents.org, and it's like back a couple months, and it's called Imagination. Just Imagination Part 1 and Imagination Part 2, because that's the... It is labeled that? Cool. It's labeled Jeremiah 33:3. So anyway, I'm just going to pass the mic, so...
Good evening. No, I don't need it. I don't have notes. Dear God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we worship you, we welcome you. Speak through me tonight. Speak to the hearts of your people, God. We welcome angelic help. We welcome angelic activity. We welcome the courts of heaven. We welcome all of heaven to participate in tonight. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight is kind of a little bit fly-by-night. Evan and I were going back and forth. Who's going to teach? Are you teaching my teaching? Are you teaching my teaching? And God didn't really give us a clear answer till about, 10 minutes before we started. So so this is going to be... What's that? Yeah, about 10 minutes before we started. So this is going to be based on a lot of what God's been kind of showing me and teaching me over the past year and a half. A lot of it is actually going to be more personal experience based rather than scripture teaching. Typically, like what I like to do when I'll teach is I'll go through scripture and say... Da, 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 and go through the next scripture and teach through that, you know. So for me, it's very vulnerable to be more experiential. And also, I don't like to always do that either, because a lot of times what my experiences are it might help some people, but other people have a completely different set of experiences. So, and a different approach in going through this thing that we call life. And as we go through, work out our faith, there's only one path. There's only one way to get there, but how it appears to us might be slightly different. And so for one person, one thing might help. For somebody else, it might help. Something else different might help. For Evan and I, we've been on a very similar road, but what we've experienced along the way and how we've gotten there is very different. But yet, as we've gone, I'm realizing it appears very different in the process, but actually the end game is exactly the same. And actually, the process is exactly the same, but understanding is very different. So so don't take my personal experience as gospel. This is my own personal experience, and this is how I've experienced things, and I've seen an incredible amount of fruit from this, and which is why I feel like it's valuable to share. So when we spoke, I guess it would have been back in October, on the imagination and the mind and seeing in the spirit. We kind of did an introduction to it. Part of what I talked about was just, what do we do when we see stuff we don't want to see? What do we do when our thoughts don't seem to line up with scripture? What do we do when we have, there are, seem to be sin and things crowding in on, what do we do with that? Because when we want to see in the spirit, when we are learning how to see in the spirit, when we're learning how to hear or operate, and by seeing in the spirit, I mean, like, it means pretty much any of the spiritual senses, because in a way, knowing is a type of seeing in the spirit. Hearing is a type of seeing in the spirit. Sensing is a type of seeing in the spirit. Feeling is a type of seeing in the spirit. I will tell you that I see angels. Sometimes when I see angels, it appears like a flash of light. But very often, I see angels in a way that not necessarily the way I see in the physical sort of sense, but I can say there's an angel standing right there and there's another one right there. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what they look like, but I can sense that there's a presence there. So that to me is another way that I see, is more of a sensing and feeling, and it's really weird to explain because it doesn't relate exactly directly to our physical senses as much. So seeing is a very broad sort of term when it comes to in the spirit. So at least as far as I've experienced at all. And I feel like I'm just in the beginning stages in a lot of ways. So I want to start with scripture because that's the very good place to start. And I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. And I'm going to read it in two different translations because I feel like sometimes it's really helpful to hear things in a translation we're familiar with and that we understand and make sense to us because we have a certain grasp on what that might mean. But then sometimes it's really helpful to read it in a translation we're very unfamiliar with because it helps us to see things we've missed and get to the deeper root of what the meaning is on it. So 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and through verse 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. That was in the ESV. And I'm going to go to the Passion Translation. Same section. For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. This is the Passion Translation. I love it. It's just fantastic. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. Okay, so what I really want to address today is just our thought life. Because it's so crucial. When we talk about the prophetic, our thoughts are incredibly, incredibly crucial because we have in the spirit, we hear from God, we see from God, we are given pictures or words or ideas, and then we process it with our brains, and along the process, we go, okay, am I actually seeing? Am I actually hearing? Is what I'm feeling actually something? Because this is really kind of weird, and I don't know why God would be giving me a picture of this for this. It doesn't make any sense. And so we have this process going on, and sometimes when we are first walking out our faith, sometimes it takes us a bit of time to unwire certain pathways that have been formed in our brains. So there are paths in our brains that are very similar to like a path on the ground. When it's walked very frequently, you see where worn sections of the grass, and those paths don't go away very quickly. It takes a while while of them not being used in order for them to disappear. And it takes a while to walk a new path and in order to see that path. Because the first time we walk through a field, we don't leave a path behind us. You might see an indentation in the ground, but you come back the next day and where was it? I have no idea. So it takes a while to wear a new path, and it takes a while of not using old paths in order for those to disappear. So our thoughts are very much like that. So while we have been, when we become a new believer and we fully accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we accept the sanctification that the blood of Jesus offers for us, we are a new creation. But sometimes we have some bad habits, and sometimes those bad habits are in our thought life. And sometimes we don't get the full picture right away. So when we don't get the full picture and we don't understand who we are and the grace that we walk under, the forgiveness that we walk under, sometimes we assume that things that are around us are our own self. And sometimes we assume that our old habits are actually still who we are. And we make the assumption that if I'm seeing it, if I'm hearing it, if I'm smelling it, if I'm that must be me. And we internalize everything. So we have ways as humans to communicate in ways that we don't realize that we do. Science tells us that our brains actually emit a signal up to, I think it's something like 5 feet away. And our hearts actually emit a signal, this is measurable, that goes up to like 15 feet. So, and I've been, as I've learned about this, this is something that I've actually been kind of experimenting with to a degree, because what I've realized is that when we meet somebody, whatever they're feeling, we tend to feel. And some people do this more than other people do, but especially if you're not, most of us aren't aware of it, but we kind of feel what the other person is thinking in a way. Not the words necessarily, but we get the idea. So we meet a person and that person is really nervous and really shy and really feeling, I just feel like super awkward and nothing they say is right. And so when you meet a person like that, you tend to feel nervous and awkward and everything you're saying is wrong and things aren't quite working right. Now, it's not like your feelings just disappear and all of a sudden all you feel is what that person feels. But we tend to take that on and we go away from that, walk away from that experience kind of with this idea that, hey, those feelings are mine, not hers or his, you know. Or if we feel they emit an I want to say aura because counterfeit terminology for it. But there's that expression of our hearts that God gave us. What they are emitting is love, and there's a frequency of love that their hearts are letting off. Then we walk away feeling loved, and we kind of tend to take on what other people's thoughts are in that way. So the reason why I mention that is that we tend to, when we're out in public, we might not have an issue with our thought life in terms of undesirable. I'm being careful because of audience members. We might have pictures of things, dirty images, for example. Okay, that might not be something we struggle with, but all of a sudden now we're driving down the road and all of a sudden we've got pictures of dirty images in our head. Perhaps there's somebody nearby you who is thinking about those things and you're picking up on it. It's kind of like a radio transmitter. We're kind of like giant radio transmitters. This is how God's wired us to communicate, but we don't have a lot of experience in this in our culture, except in kind of the occult, which the occult has kind of taken things over and counterfeited them to a large degree. So we have the capacity to communicate with each other in that way, but most of us aren't aware of it. So we will pick up on things that other people are thinking in a way that we can take on as our own self. Sometimes it can be our own thoughts, sometimes it's not. Okay, so the demonic, there's a lot of speculation as to whether or not the demonic can hear our thoughts. Now, I don't know that they necessarily can hear the words that we're thinking in our heads. I'm not so sure about that. But with that, what we are projecting, our emotions, our what's coming off of our heart, they can pick up on. And they take advantage of that to a large degree. And they say, I'm going to pick on you today. You look like you're a little bit insecure today. So I'm going to pick on this one thing. And they will, they're, you will pick up on what they are thinking about. And you go, what the heck is this? Why am I thinking this? Why have all of a sudden, have you ever done that where you're not thinking about something, you're thinking about everything like a mundane sort of, what am I going to have for dinner tonight? And then all of a sudden there's this thought of something and you're going, why am I thinking about that? Why am I thinking about death? Or why am I thinking about this horrible thing? What is going on? And you might have something in the demonic that's near you. Now, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, they cannot possess you. However, if they can, we can give the demonic permission to access, be around us. And now there's several ways that this can go about. We can do this by deliberate, intentional sin. We can say we have a history of anger, and we get angry at the slightest bit of anything. And this can come from our own selves and our own lives, and it can also come from our genetics, from our family. Maybe there's a family history of anger. So that anger and that or jealousy or pick something negative. If we have a history of that, we can, in a way, it's almost like putting a hook like screwing a hook into your back or something like that. It gives the demonic a place to latch on and hold on. Okay? You, by the blood of Jesus, because of the finished work of the cross, have the authority, you've been given authority over the enemy. And you've been given authority over your own house, meaning your own person, meaning your own household, meaning your body, meaning spirit, soul. You have authority over you because of the work of Jesus. Okay? So, but when we sin, when we do things we're not supposed to, when we go against the word of God, then we allow footholds, strongholds in our life. And we have these strongholds that are not physical, but they are in the spirit. So how do we wage war in the spirit? I mean, how do we wage war? We don't wage war in the physical. We may think that anger issue is actually because of the people that are around us, but no, in reality, it's actually a spiritual thing that's going on. It's an unseen problem. So what we will do, we personalize it as our own identity. But that is no longer our identity. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation. That is no longer our identity. The old nature is gone, and that is a lie that is allowed to persist. And you, by allowing that to stay, allow it to persist. And you can give up that authority that is yours rightfully to whatever is allowed to be in your space. Okay, so I have heard of it called as familiar spirits. They are some spirits that have been around you and or your family for generations sometimes because of generational curses and sins that have come through. So there, when somebody talks to the dead, typically if you go to a medium and talk to the dead, they're probably talking to your familiar spirit because they know these spirits are familiar with you and your family. And so they know exactly what to say to really get your goat. right? So they will tell you things and that sound like your own self. But if you get into the Word of God, if you know the truth of what God says, the truth in the Bible, the truth of what He says about you, you can, when you listen for it, you can start picking up on those things. So what I did, when I first started learning about this, I started listening and saying, okay, this thought here sounds like, this is something I thought my entire life. But I go, wait a minute, is that what God says about me? No, that is not what God says about me. And it comes with, sometimes it very often comes with this like, sort of feeling of some kind of negative emotion is very, very commonly attached to it, as far as what I found. And again, please understand this is my experience. So this may not be the same for everybody, and please don't take this as gospel, but if this helps you, that's why I'm sharing it. So if that makes sense, because Evan's approach to this has been vastly different. But again, this is what I've gone through, and this has helped me tremendously. So I have found that this, so I'd hear this voice, hear a thought. It wouldn't be an audible voice. It'd be like my own thoughts in my own head. And I would hear this thing and go, wait a minute, that is not God. And in the spirit, I would take stock and look at my own self. And say, okay, I felt something here. What do I see here? And God allowed me to see what this was. And there'd be, and I'm telling you, I went through the process of probably 20, 30, 40 of these, I don't know how many of these things. But when I started, maybe about 20, maybe, I don't know, but it's a lot. So I would start with whatever it was, and I would see something, and most of the time it was the weirdest looking thing. I'm like, what the heck is this? It would look like one of the first ones I found was in my belly, and it looked like a giant, squishy, like a, if you've ever seen a custom earplug, they're like this weird, like, icky looking thing that just goes in your ear. But it was like squishy and soft, like jello. I'm like, ew, this is gross. So I pull it out of my belly, and this is all in my mind, my mind's eye, what God's allowed me to see. And I pull it out, and I'm like, what do I do with this thing? This is really gross. How about let's squish it? Let's destroy it. So squish it, stomp it. And then, so what was left was this cavity, and God gave me something, and I won't go into the detail of it, gave me something to put in its place. Okay. So covered it with the blood, because if I've allowed something to be there, I'm sorry, Lord, whatever I did, whatever anybody in my generations did to allow this thing to be there, I'm sorry, I repent. I repent for allowing this thing to be here, allowing, giving this thing a foothold, cover it with the blood of Jesus, and put this thing, put what God gave me in its place. And in every case, not in every case has He given me something specific to put in His place, but in every case, I've gone and destroyed whatever it is, or nail it to the cross, tie it to the cross, nail it to the cross, cover it with the blood of Jesus. I'll cover me with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is extremely powerful, and that's a huge message in and of itself. So I've seen things that look like a hockey puck with paper fringe and eyeballs. And I'm going, whatever it is, if it looks like paper, I burn it. If it looks like metal, I burn it. I've had things that look like a street light. I'm going, what do I do with this? I don't know. Hang it on the cross. I don't know what this is. So the point is with this is I am, by faith, acting in my own authority that God has given me, that Jesus paid for. He bought and paid this, the price to receive the authority back that was lost when Adam and Eve fell. He got the keys, which represent authority, he got them back, so that, and he gave that authority to us so that we have the authority to be able to operate in this way. So this is all by faith. Doesn't matter what you see? No. Doesn't matter what you hear? No. This is, you take whatever is there and you get rid of it. You tell it to go. You can tell it to go. You can just focus in on, you don't even have to focus in on whatever it is. Focus in on God and what he's doing. And oftentimes those things go on their own because they get freaked out when they see you walking in your own authority. They do not like seeing you walk in authority. Okay, so I started doing this, and after the sixth or seventh thing, the voices got really quiet. And it would be like a week or two or a month and nothing. And then every once in a while, there'd be something, a little voice, just really quiet, something very subtle. And I would get rid of that. But the voices have gone completely and totally silent. And I'm not telling you that I used to hear voices all the time in my head, but it was like my own thoughts. It seemed like my own thoughts. I would never have told you that I was hearing voices ever, because that was never what it felt like. What it felt like was my own thoughts lying to myself. But they were lies, and they were not from the Lord, and they weren't from me either. They were, in a way, because I would hear the voice, I would hear that thought, and then I would take that thought and continue on the process with it. Like, for example, you might have a thought of harming yourself in some way. And then if you continue that, you might grab hold of it because in that day you're having a really rough day and you might continue with that process. Well, first off, you've just given that thing a right to speak in your ear. By listening to it, you give it a right to be there. But you can take that thing and run with it. And there have been many times in my life that I've done that. I've taken the lie and run with it. And so that's part of the process of what I've gone through. And just repent of that. I'm sorry, Lord, that I've been through that. I'm sorry I listened to the lie of the enemy. I'm sorry I've gone through this. And I have seen incredible, incredible freedom from it. And so what's also gone is gone are the thoughts. And gone are the emotions of condemnation, of hatred, of anger, of just self-loathing that often came with those thoughts. So it's been an incredible freedom. And it's not just that, because there's a scripture, I won't look it up right now, but there's a scripture that Jesus tells about the house is swept clean and the strong man's removed. And then how many? Seven more come in and take over. So it's incredibly, incredibly important that if you're removing stuff out of your life, you need to be filling it with the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit should be there anyway. If you are a born-again believer, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit is there. Even if you don't feel him, he is there. So we have to remind ourselves of that, fill ourselves, cleanse ourselves with the blood. And honestly, it's been done already. We just need to remember it and activate it in our own life. And by activating it, we are receiving that for ourselves. Because oftentimes we might say that we're forgiven, but we've never received that forgiveness. Because sometimes we can't forgive ourselves. So in that process, we hold on to all the negative stuff because we feel like it's justified. And that's the thing with some of this stuff, is that the voices may come and tell you lies, and it might sound like a really religious, nice thing to do. Like, oh, I'm so humble. Look at me. I'm tearing myself apart because I'm not proud. I'm very humble. And in reality, no, you're not actually being humble. Your self-condemnation is actually just the same thing as pride. It's just a different kind of color to it, but it's the same exact thing. So it sounds good. And sometimes those voices can sound good. Sometimes those ideas can sound okay. And the enemy is very good at lying. But as you step into the authority of who you are, that starts to fall off. Now, Evan has gone through a very different process where he's just focused entirely in on his identity. He skipped all of the nonsense that I went through, and which is very helpful, everything I just told you. And he just started walking in his own identity. This is who God says I am. This is who God says I am. And we can do that. That's another way to go about this, is just quoting scripture over ourselves, Anytime the enemy's there, you recognize that that's the enemy. That's a lie. That's a lie in our own mind, a lie that we've allowed to propagate. and say, nope, that's a lie. I am going to focus in the other direction. I am turning away from that lie, and I am focusing on my true identity in the Word, what God says that I am, and focus in on that. And the rest of it, it gets really small and quiet. Because when you're focused on God and you're focused on your true identity, the rest is really kind of petty and small. It's really kind of a pathetic. You know, in this world, when we look at the effects of the enemy, and we look at the enemy, we see this huge monster that we have to go against. Like the Israelites going into the Promised Land, they were looking at it with natural eyes, and the natural eyes, to them, in their own mind, they were as grasshoppers compared to the people that they were coming up against. But they were looking in the natural. They were engaging in a physical battle, when in reality, the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we are not to engage in a physical sort of way. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities and powers in the spirit. Our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people or the enemy hides. Okay? So this whole process here, and I probably should read this again. I'll read this again at the end because it makes so much more sense, too, in context of what I'm saying. Another thing I want to address, because this is a kind of a similar sort of thing that I was thinking about in terms of what I just shared. In dealing with the thought processes that we've allowed, in dealing with the consequences of sin in our lives, even though the sin itself has been removed, we still sometimes hold on to the consequences without realizing that we can let them go. So in the process of letting the consequences go, sometimes it's helpful to have some tools. And one of these things that I heard, and this is not my analogy, this is something that God gave to somebody else, was that when you have a picture in your mind, because this is something I thank God have not struggled with, which is repeated images. But I know people who have actually fallen away because of the constant images that the enemy would present in accusation against her. And at the time, I didn't know any of this, and so I had no means to actually help her to deal with this. And I feel really badly about that, but what are you going to do? So I've come a long way since then, because I was only operating according to what I had been taught in schools, in church, which at the time was very, very, very basic and kind of not filled with the Holy Spirit completely. So, but this is something that would have been extremely helpful for her, and I know has been extremely helpful for other people. Which is when you have a picture that's come up, very likely there's a reason why. Now, it might be the reason why might be because some dude driving next to you has issues with that thing and you're picking up on it. That can be the case. But if this is something that is a repeated sort of thing that you struggle with on an ongoing basis, of pictures of violence or other things that I won't mention, if you've got that picture in front of you, what you can do is, like, okay, if you have a poster of something and you cover it with red paint, what do you see? You see red paint. So with pictures in our mind, the blood of Jesus works very similarly with that. So when the pictures come up, you say, okay, wherever this came from, if you know what it came from, repent of it. Say, God, I'm sorry for that. I'm turning away from it. Repentance is a turning away from. It's 180 degrees. I am no longer going in that direction. I'm going the opposite direction towards you, away from whatever that is. Okay? So I am making a decision to turn away from this, no longer pursue this thing, if you are still pursuing it. If not, it could be something from your past long ago that you no longer do. But you take whatever it is, if you know what to repent of, do. If not, just say, sorry, I have no idea what this is from, but God, I turn to you. I turn away from whatever this is, and I turn towards you. And I cover, and you can even picture it, and if it helps you draw something and cover it with red paint, whatever it does to help you to engage your faith, to engage the reality of what this is and to make it real for you. It's real in the spirit. If it takes something physical to make it real for you, then do it. But with me, like what you can do is just picture a paintbrush covering up over that image. And sometimes it takes a while to go through. Sometimes it's a bit of a process because, again, those pathways in our brain are extremely worn in there. And it takes sometimes, was it like 21 days to unwire your brain, to wire your brain differently? Thank you, God, that our brains are made to wire and unwire themselves. Those wires that we form in our brain because of how we think are not permanent. They do not have to stay. So we can unlearn these things and unwire these things. So if those images come back, paint them again with the blood of Jesus. Paint your brain with the blood of Jesus. Whatever you need to do to cover that up, paint your eyes with the blood of Jesus. And eventually those images go away. So I'm going to read that scripture one more time because I think that's important. And then I will wrap up here because I want to make sure we have enough time to minister to each other here. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. I'm going to read from the ESV again. For though we walk in the flesh, so we're physical beings, we are not waging war according to the flesh. So we don't do things the same way we do in the natural. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. So if we use physical means to try and get rid of the enemy, get rid of these things, it's just not going to work, okay? We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. So these are lies against God. And take every thought captive to obey Christ. So it's our responsibility to take these things captive, okay? And it's our right. It is our right to do that. Being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. And I honestly think there is a, whatever these beings were that I saw them as inanimate objects, because I think if I saw them as beings, if God showed them to me as actual beings, I would feel kind of, even if there's an ugly, pitiful thing that's been tormenting my entire life, I have a very soft heart for creatures. Even if you're the most miserable creature on the face of the planet, I would have a really hard time just killing something for the sake of killing it, right? But I believe God showed me these things like they look like inanimate objects, because I have no problem if this blob of goo is causing problems. I have no problem torching that sucker. So I think there's a certain amount of, I don't know if it kills them. I have no idea how that works in the spirit, but I don't believe they actually die, but it obviously they don't like it, because if they did, then they wouldn't be running away, but they've been going. And I think there's a certain amount of, punishment in that for them, I guess. I don't know. But, all right. I'm going to wrap that up. I'm going to wrap it up in prayer first. Dear God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, God. We thank you for your process of sanctifying our minds, our eyes, our ears, all of our senses, God. We thank you that you have provided a way for this. And we say, Jesus Christ, you are Lord and Savior over us. We submit ourselves to you and to your authority. We accept the authority that you have given us over ourselves, over our households, and over the things that you've given us authority over. We accept that authority. We step into that authority. We ask forgiveness of those things that have kept us from you, from those things, and we repent. We return away from those things that have held us back. We turn away from those things that have been a dishonor to ourselves and to other people. We say, we are so sorry, God. We're so sorry for allowing those things right of access into what is truly bought and paid for by you in us, God. We are your property. We are your possession, bought and paid for by the highest price. We thank you, God, for who you are and what you've done for us. And we accept your gift of sanctification and cleansing, God. And cover us with the blood of Jesus, God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.